story was told about a carpet layer who, after finishing the job, decided that he would step outside for a smoke. Went outside, reached up to his pocket. His cigarettes weren't there. Went back into the room, and there was a bulge in the middle of the carpet. He said, "Oh, my goodness." He said, I'm not going to tear up this carpet. I'll just take my mallet and level it out." So he took his mallet and began to beat away to flatten out the bulge in the carpet. He was putting up some of his other supplies, and the lady came to him with a packet of cigarettes in her hand, and she said, "Here, I found these in the hallway. I just wish I could find my parakeet." "Oh no," you would say. Sometimes the little things that we think are simple turn out to be rather big. A story was told in 1666 about the king's baker. Had a little fire in the kitchen. He thought he'd put it out. It was no big deal. It caught on later during the evening and burned 80% of the city in 1666. We also might think about back in the times in our country in the 20s and 30s when we decided that alcohol was bad. We just do away with it. Make it illegal. Illegal to make alcohol, illegal to transport alcohol, illegal to sell alcohol. And now we know in our history about the gangs of Chicago and about the Ridge Runners and the Blue Ridge and also down in the Low Country as people begin to make illegal whiskey and sell it and all throughout our country. And realize the intent was to just do away with alcohol and what it created, as we learned that gangsters and what they would limits they would go to for people to have, as we say, a drink. Sometime as we look at these decisions that we make and the ways that we think, sometimes our little simple decisions have big dramatic consequences. As we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, we think about these two individuals as they stand before God in the synagogue, and there they are praying. Both of them praying in that personal and private manner that we pray. And as we listen in to their prayer, we begin to understand the attitudes of these individuals. A Pharisee, a person that fasted twice a week, the Bible said, gave a 10% of what they made to the church. As I read this passage and looked at it again, I said, "Man, that person sounds like a good Methodist." I mean, I'd be tickled to death to have a lot of those type of people in my church. Those that are fasting and praying. And especially with our budget the way it is right now, giving 10% of their income. Especially in these tough economic times, that's not such a bad person. And then I perceive that this is the one that is criticized. Sometimes that we assume by our good deeds that it gives us a better standing with God, and yet we know that in our lives we should have some good deeds. I was reminded of my mom when my first allowance that I received as a young boy was a half a dollar. And I'll never forget the day that Mom said, "You know, Terry, a nickel of that belongs to God." I can still remember trying to rationalize that in my mind, why God should get a nickel of my allowance. And then she said something like this. She said, well, Terry, you know, when you give to God, God blesses you and returns to you. I said, well, I'll try it. So I remember giving a nickel in the offering and went down to visit my grandmother, and she gave me $1. I said, wow, this works. I said, so I can give more money and I can get more. So I actually, for years, as a paper boy, delivering the Greenville Piedmont and in the afternoons would take and give of my tithes each week. I was forever winning all types of things. I'll never forget the day that I won $20 in a contest if you got five new subscriptions. Members, I'm back into the thing of thinking like a preacher now. You understand that? But five new subscribers, and so I did it, and I won the first place. And I said, you know, that's because I tithe. And I realized somewhere along the way that even though as I was giving to God and God was blessing me, that my attitude was wrong. That I shouldn't be giving to get. I should be giving because of my love and my relationship with God. So sometimes I thoroughly begin to understand the passage that says our righteousness are like filthy rags. Because sometimes, even as Paul said, when I determine that I'm going to do good, evil is present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this? And so here's the Pharisee, and he has these justifications. And he's standing there and he says, I thank God that I'm not like other people. And he begins to name them thieves, rogues, adulterers, tax collector. Tax collector. Well, we're getting ready to go to the polls in a few days from now. I don't know of any politician that has said in my entire lifetime, when I get in office, I'm going to increase taxes. We all have that distaste in our mouth about taxes. In the very beginning of our country, one of the issues was taxes. Somewhere along the way, we didn't hear what somebody said because taxes keep going up. You know that. But everybody always says they're going to cut taxes. And come April the 15th, we all have that little distaste in our mouth about, well, here was a tax collector in the Bible, and he was standing there, and just like we feel today, people felt that way toward him. This is a lonely place to be. It was a rich place to be, but it was a lonely place to be a tax collector. A Jew working for the Romans, making assessments, having the backing of the Roman legion, you could get what you wanted. Most of them did. You can imagine how this tax collector probably felt with no friends except other tax collectors. Maybe he would like to have had some friends, for whatever it was that was eating on him down deep inside, he was crying. The Bible says beating his chest. "Oh God," he said, "be merciful to me, sinner." If we were standing there beside him, we might could have even added some other words to that prayer, like, "you good for nothing," so and so, whatever we wanted to say, and we probably would have been accurate. But he was the one that was praying. Story was told about a young man who went to stand before St. Peter, and an angel was standing with him. And he welcomed him to heaven, and he said to him, he said, "Welcome to heaven. There is a test. You have to get 1,000 points. And we assess all that you have done in life, and we give you points." So the man said, "Well, from my childhood, I was baptized into the church. I sang in the church choir. I was a part of every committee that we ever had in the church. I was a faithful tither. I took part. I taught Sunday school. I've missed very few Sundays." And St. Peter said, "Wow, that's pretty good. Man, you get 360 points for that." He thought some more and he said, "Okay, well, I was a Boy Scout. Not only was I a Boy Scout, I was an Eagle. Not only was I an Eagle, I helped little old ladies across the street." St. Peter said, "Man, that's good. We'll give you 460 points. What else did you do?" He thought, he said, "I'll never get enough points except by the grace of God." St. Peter said, "That's it. 1,000 points. Welcome to heaven. But by the grace of God, would any of us be justified in the eyes of an angry God? Only by God's grace. Justified in the eyes of a loving God." As we look at the Pharisee and the tax collector, it's not so much these two different individuals, but it's the Pharisee part and the tax collector part that resides inside of both of us, inside of us, both of them residing inside of us. Sometimes we are like the Pharisee, and sometimes like the tax collector. We certainly need to be doing good, but we certainly need to be praying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Amen.